persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur, spokesperson for God, Captain America's sidekick, Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch that signal the enemy is on the march, an enemy who would steal from us our liberty. You know, of all the openings I've used over the years, I like that one the best. Bible thumper alert.
Thus saith the Lord.
A lying tongue is but for a moment. No matter how charming is the liar, as my grandpappy used to say, truth will out. That means the truth will always be discovered. It acknowledges the fact that sometimes the truth is suppressed, buried, hidden, but that ultimately it will come out into the open. What liars are these people? Mercy! I came across a headline from Newsmax that captured my attention. Quote, Franken reels after Thune question on Senate floor, end quote. Well, I watched the video of Thune's presentation and Franken's response. Now, I don't think I would characterize Franken's response as reeling, but it was certainly revealing. Thune presented a chart that, by the way, he's the senator from South Dakota. He presented a chart on the Senate floor, that illustrated the absurdity of the current Senate version of the health care bill. You know, the one that all the liberals are so anxious to railroad into law, you know, with closed-door meetings, rush votes, arm-twisting so intense. Well, you could hear some of those guys squealing in D.C. from Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Anyway, with his chart, he intended to illustrate how the liberals were lying about the cost of their health care plan. One clever shell game they are using is to shuffle large portions of the costs hidden under shells they keep moving around. One example, the fact is they intend to impose the tax increases necessary to pay for the benefits about 3 years in advance of when they start actually paying out for those benefits. In that way, they begin in January 2010 to tax us for the benefits that will not be available to the taxpayer until 2014. They will have accumulated something like $72 billion in tax revenues up front for benefits they don't start paying out until 2014. Then they deduct this $72 billion from their cost estimates that they throw at you. Oh, what liars. They think we are so stupid that we won't notice the $72 billion bulging under the shell of their lie. Are these guys liars or what? Well, anyway, Mr. Franken comes on the floor and charges Thune of lying. And he repeats the line, we all have a right to our own opinions, but no one has a right to their own facts, end quote. And then he points out that there are many, quote-unquote, benefits that begin being paid immediately. Of course, you know, my ear is tuned to these guys. I know how they work. As soon as he began talking about many benefits that start with the tax increases, well, I knew right away what he was trying to pull. So I looked into it. He boasted that he had a long list of benefits that are available to the taxpayer immediately. And folks, only Kool-Aid drinking Obamacrats would fail to notice that in his statement is an admission that some of the benefits will not be made available until 2014. And so anyway, I'm listening. I'm thinking, I wonder if Thune misrepresented the facts here. I mean, Franken looked down at his podium as if examining a list of benefits that he claimed was a long one. Benefits that he said would be available in 2010. So Thune asks for an opportunity to ask the senator from Minnesota, Mr. Franken, a question. And Mr. Franken allows the question. And Thune attempts to offer a clarification of his statement. It's my opinion he bungled that opportunity just a bit, frankly. Franken interrupted him, did not answer the question, of course, and dismissed Senator Thune, saying effectively that Thune lied when he said benefits would not begin to be paid out until 2014. Happily, John McCain came to the rescue a little later in the day, and when it was his turn to speak, he offered some time to Senator Thune to clarify his point. Senator Thune then clarified that 99% of the benefits, you know, the benefits that are part of the spending portion of the bill, would not be available until 2014. In other words, there were some provisions in the bill that address benefits already available, and those, of course, would continue to be available. And then, together with a few of the benefits that are newly introduced in this bill, that would be available in 2010, and together this amounts to 1% of the spending provisions of the bill. To be accurate, Thune should have said 99% of the spending provisions of the bill are not available until 2014. Shame on you, Thune. Now, I ask you, who is the liar here? Did Thune lie when he made the blanket statement that the benefits of the bill will not be available until 2014? I listened, and he did not say that none of the benefits would be available until then, although, no doubt, that could be legitimately inferred from what he did say. And then a simple clarification could have been made, you know, that in fact 1% of the spending provisions will be available, but 99% of the spending provisions would not kick in until 2014. How absurd would Franken have sounded if he was honest? You know, if he said something like, hey, that's not right, Thune, 1% of the benefits will be available. But he did not declare what percentage of the benefits would be available, just as Thune did not declare what percentage of the benefits would not be available until 2014. Now, listen up, folks. This is an important study in what we're dealing with here today. Franken is calling Thune a liar, and all the liberal blogs are agog. In fact, Franken wrote a book on the subject. I have it right here. Lies and the Lying Liars That Tell Them. Oh, my. We have an illustration of one of the most bizarre features of the self-righteousness of contemporary liberalism, arrogant self-delusion. Watch. Now, Franken claims to have read the bill. Well, that is at least what might be legitimately inferred from his repeated charges that he hurled at his, quote, honored opponents on the other side, end quote, blah, 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 that many of his colleagues on the right admit they have not read the bill and so on. So he read it, I suppose. And he presents himself as an authority on the subject to which Thune spoke very smugly. I mean, complete with finger-pointing, self-righteous indignation, declaring repeatedly, quote, we all have a right to our own opinions, but no one has a right to their own facts, end quote. So we will, for the moment, accept that Franken is an expert on this question regarding the Senate health care bill. Okay. All right. So according to Franken and the bobbing head liberals of his ilk, Thune is a liar because he failed to be specific about the percentage of the benefits that would not be available to the taxpayer until 2014. As Franken pointed out, indeed, at least some of the benefits would be available. And as Franken pointed out, he asked Thune whether he had mentioned any of the provisions that would be available. And according to Franken, Thune said, no. So I think that's how he put it. So Franken knew about what would be available immediately, didn't he? All right, I'll follow this. Based on this, Franken calls Thune a liar. He does not say, now, Mr. Thune, I am happy to clarify this for you. I have a list here of benefits that will be available, and then graciously allow Thune to respond by saying something to the effect that, well, thank you, Mr. Senator from Minnesota, for that correction. I would like to amend my remarks with this correction. 99% of the benefits will not be available until 2014. You see, Mr. Franken would not enter into such a discussion for the simple reason that every reasonable person would roll their eyes at the absurdity of this senator from Minnesota correcting the senator from South Dakota over a 1% inaccuracy. And hey, if Thune is a liar because he failed to specify the specific percentage of benefits that would not be available until 2014, then is not Franken a liar for failing to point out that only 1% of the benefits will be available? You see what I mean? So to all my liberal friends, I propose a compromise. Apparently, specifying exact percentages is important to you. So I propose a compromise to the situation. You like compromise, and you like technical accuracy in communications? Forget about the essential point that is being made. Let us argue about 1%. When even the laws of rounding off allow for rounding up in this case, surely, and even though I think most rational human beings would not squabble about Thune's 1% inaccuracy, especially when, in fact, the point he was making was not in the least compromised, not even by 1%, by that inaccuracy. The point being that the liberals' attempt to hide the true cost of the bill by clever devices, such as subtracting from their cost estimates all of the tax revenues collected from taxpayers to pay for the bill from January 1, 2010 to January 1, 2014, and then pretend this reduces the cost to the taxpayer? This is an absolute insult. However, let us for the moment adopt the new liberal standard for honesty. Let us concede that Thune lied when he said the benefits don't start till 2014, when in fact the truth is 1% of them do. Well, then I propose that Thune is a 1% liar, and that makes Franken a 99% liar. When you are debating a Kool-Aid-drinking Obamacrat liberal these days, you are dealing with persons who are ready to pounce on the most trivial inaccuracy and use it like a club to beat you on the head. Liar, liar, liar. And their self-righteous but warped soul reinforces itself and comforts itself in its lie by repeating this nonsense louder and louder. And if their lying soul is challenged with a bit of truth, they just close their eyes and plug their ears and repeat it over and over to themselves and to one another. He said no benefits would kick in till 2014. Well, I know that some benefits will kick in before then. If you try to say, well, 99% of the benefits are not, they're going to interrupt you, dismiss you with boldly pronounced truisms, you know, such as everyone has a right to his own opinions, but no one has a right to his own facts. Well, duh. To which all the simple-minded lip-fibbers nod in agreement. Yeah, that's right, man. And then they gather at their parties and love fest, toasting one another, snorting their coke and blowing their weed, and congratulating themselves on yet another great moment when they expose the lies of the conservatives. And Al Franken can add a new chapter to his book, which is packed full of this kind of nonsense. It is bizarre, but it is what it is. And so Senator Thune should go to the team leader who put together the information used for his presentation and, well, fire him or her on the spot for failing to give him complete data. Now, that's what I would probably do. Look, you see how the fact checker left Thune exposed to be blindsided by this clown. That's why Thune just left, walked out of the house, probably went to his office and said, what are you guys trying to pull? And he got it straightened out, got his numbers clarified, came back later and straightened it all out. Well, okay. If Thune articulated his expectation clearly to his research team and then they failed because of laziness or carelessness. All right, all right, all right. But anyway, I got to wrap up this segment and go to break. Look at this Obamacare scam closely, please. I mean, if they'll give you a chance to look at it. What really is going on here? Bible thump alert, Bible thump alert. Thus saith the Lord, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so sometimes you can catch a little line on the truth about the thoughts and intents of the heart of someone you're listening to if you'll pay attention to what they're saying. Recently, Obama was being interviewed by Charlie Gibson on World News. Now, the president alleged, where's your birth certificate, sir, referring to the health care bill, said, quote, if we don't pass it, here's the guarantee. Your premiums will go up. Your employers are going to load up more costs on you, end quote. And then, quote, potentially, they're going to drop your coverage because they just can't afford an increase of 25%, 30% in terms of the costs of providing health care to employees each and every year, end quote. Now, laying aside for the moment commentary on the irony of this president threatening the public with this ominous prediction that will occur if we don't let government take over health care, when in fact these and worse things are very likely to occur if we do allow government to take over health care. Consider the next thing that he said, speaking from his heart, no doubt, after observing that Medicare and Medicaid are on an, quote, unsustainable, end quote, trajectory. He said that unless something is done to bring health care costs down, quote, the federal government will go bankrupt, end quote. Now, this is revealing. Perhaps the reason the liberals, or at least one of the main reasons the liberals are so determined to ramrod this bill down our throats is that they realize their spending programs are about to bankrupt the nation. And they see this as a way to reach their greedy paws deeper into your back pockets. Listen, they are using the health care scam to justify not simply taking over 25% of the nation's economy, which God help us if they get hold of that, but actually the goal is to get their hands deeper into the taxpayers' back pocket. They want to use this health care bill as a way to justify increasing taxes to get more revenues generated through the government. It's a bailout system for the federal government, my friend. It's a massive bailout program. Oh, Obama admitted it. If we don't pass this health care bill, the federal government will go bankrupt. Why? Because it can't afford to keep paying for their social welfare programs unless they can confiscate more taxpayer dollars. Anyway, I'm going to take a short break. I'll be right back.
Is going to church for you like walking on a treadmill? You keep going and going and getting nowhere? Have you and your family really grown closer to the Lord Jesus? Are you being challenged to grow in His grace? Or are you allowed to hide your lack of spiritual growth under the cover of so-called grace? Come to the church that makes a difference. Lighthouse Baptist Church, guiding families through the moral storms of our day. Call 347-9887 for more information. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
Devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur, and I'm ready to complete your brain massage for today. Now, this is interesting. Healthcare costs are so out of control that the government healthcare programs that are already in place, Medicare, Medicaid, are about to bust the government. According to the president, alleged, unless we pass this healthcare bill, the federal government is going to go bankrupt. So the reason we need this bill to pass is in order to save the federal government from going bankrupt. I mean, it's just like liberals today to push an answer to a problem that is guaranteed to exacerbate the problem. The healthcare program adds more than $1 trillion to the federal budget. Hey, actually, it's something like $2.5 trillion when it's fully implemented. All right, I get it. You know, the present government health programs are going to bust the budget, so, well, let's expand those programs into a national womb-to-tomb healthcare program. The liberal mentality today seems to be, if it's not broken, break it. If it is broken, demolish it. Why would anyone say, here is a system that's about to break our economy, so let's do more of it? Now, the idea is to get control of costs, right? In the past, we trusted free market dynamics to keep costs down. You know, competition. So the idea is that the insurance companies are very evil people, you know, whose motivation is profit. And anybody who's motivated by profit, well, you know, you can't trust their decisions on anything. You can, however, trust politicians with control of your healthcare decision. Because as everyone knows, of course, politicians are all very honest, unselfish, holy, righteous people, right? How about wrong? Our founders were particularly concerned about people with government power being corrupted by it. The profit motive is no more trustworthy than the political motive. In fact, if you have problems with how some insurance policies control their costs in order to maintain profitability, just wait until you have the government controlling costs and motivated by political reasons. Look, my friends, fundamentally, don't you understand, whether it's profit or politics, there are only two ways anyone's going to control costs. The same two ways insurance companies do it: increase premiums and or decrease payments to claims. That's it. It's the only way it can be done. Only government increases premiums through increased taxes and decreases payment to claims by, well, simply taking your health care decisions out of your hands and placing them into the hands of bureaucrats, shielded from the personal side of medical concerns, of medical decisions, where they decide who lives or who dies based on benefit-cost decisions or benefit-cost analyses that are arbitrated in the abstract world of government statisticians, who are every bit as cold and aloof to the human side of medical issues as any profit-motivated organization could ever be. But actually worse, because at least with the profit-motivated companies in a free market environment, they have to deal with competition for the business of their customers. The customers can't shop and go somewhere else. Whereas with government-controlled healthcare, the discipline of competition is removed. They have raw power, unchecked by the market. So, yep, the profit motive is replaced by the political one. If you think the profit factor is a problem in healthcare, wait until you get snared into a system where the political factor is controlling medical decisions. The answer to healthcare costs is honest competition in a free market situation where the power to decide medical issues is in the hands of the patient with the advice of trusted physicians. Would you like to see what your medical plan will look like when the politicians get control of it? If you really knew what goes on in the House and Senate, you would be absolutely appalled at what a travesty Many, if not today, most of these men and women have made of our representative form of government. For example, why are not the people absolutely outraged at the fact that a 1,000-plus page bill is being pushed through the legislation in this country that no one except a very few has ever been able to read? And how those who control the House and Senate are manipulating the rules to keep the people from seeing this bill before it's passed into law. I mean, it's beyond outrageous, my friends. It is criminal. This is a violation of their oath of office. I got to move toward a conclusion. You hear these terms thrown about, and you might wonder what some of them mean. Yeah, terms like individual mandate and the public option. Just in case you wonder what these terms mean, I'll explain them. Because you're going to need to understand them to appreciate the brilliant insights I intend to bring forward. The individual mandate is so obnoxious, many of dim libs don't like it any better than the conservatives. Essentially, the idea is that the government will mandate everyone purchase health insurance, or they're going to have to pay a fine. Yeah, right away, you're thinking, wait a minute, the government is going to make it against the law if I choose not to purchase a health insurance policy? How can the government force me to buy health insurance? Well, that's what the individual mandate is all about, and that's the controversy surrounding it. Now, you need to know that you have a whole new genre of representative in Washington these days. The new representative does not believe he or she is obligated to represent the people who send them to Washington. You know, in fact, the representatives who are a bit squeamish about going against the wishes of 60% of the people, you know, who put them in office, are being ridiculed and they're being scolded. When are these wimps going to stand up to their constituents? Can you imagine? Stand up to their constituents. Wait a minute. They're supposed to represent their constituents. Can you believe these arrogant people? I want to know, when will these representatives that we send to Washington stand up to the political machine? Because some of these characters have been allowed to hold power for generations. They've become so deeply entrenched in the system, and they built these little fortified little strongholds around them. Man, we need term limits on all these jokers. They have created this weird machine that, well, you know, when we send someone to Washington to represent us, the voters, you know, they go to Washington and then they're sucked into this machine. And this machine works sort of like a reverse washing machine. Instead of cleaning, it actually covers them in slime and excreta, marinating them in the odors of Washington politics that has a peculiar effect upon their brain and their eyes, so that they become sort of like Obama bots or Soros-sullied commies. Really, Soros is one sorry money-loving pervert, and he built the machine that he feeds it the quarters it needs to run. All right, anyway, you get the point. One of the silliest among this new genre of representatives is Blanche Lincoln, Democrat, Arkansas. She said right out loud that the reason Congress has the authority to force individuals to purchase health insurance is, well, it's because, according to her, the United States Constitution, quote, charges Congress with the health and well-being of the people, end quote. I kid you not. This congressperson actually believes the Constitution grants authority to the Congress to force citizens to purchase health insurance under the provision in the Constitution that, quote, charges Congress with the health and well-being of the people, end quote. Has she ever read it? For the last 223 years, no one who read the Constitution ever walked away with that. Of course, the words health and well-being are nowhere found in the Constitution, but, you know, no matter. No doubt she gets this by a simple-minded and ignorant reading of the phrase to provide for the common defense and promote the general welfare, end quote, and by a torturous twisting of the English language and a convoluted pretzel bunch of logical maneuvering, she manages to convince herself that promoting the common welfare includes mandating that every individual purchase health insurance? Unbelievable. Listen, if promoting the general welfare includes mandating individuals to purchase health insurance, well, don't you see it would then include mandating everyone eat a certain diet, get a certain amount of sleep and exercise? By the way, a diet and exercise regimen that the government decides is good for you? If promoting the general welfare empowers Congress to force you to purchase health insurance, my friend, it empowers Congress to force you to do anything it deems promotes the general welfare of the nation. Can you even begin to understand where this is going? My God in heaven, help us. This numbskull imagines she has the power to take over your life. And let me tell you something. If you allow them to take over healthcare, they will have control over your life and over how you live it. And the bizarre thing in all of this is you can be certain they're not going to interfere with any sexual deviancy behaviors. Oh, no. Premarital sex, out-of-wedlock sex, babies created in that situation. Fine, just kill the babies. We'll pay for it. That solves the problem. Homosexuality, you know, or any other weird, bizarre sexual deviancy. All the diseases that afflict people, these pathetic and perverted people. Oh, no. All their care needs are going to be paid for by you, the public. Oh, yeah. Hey, fella, you been smoking? You get lung cancer? Too bad for you, dude. Hey, you been hitting on the Twinkies too much? You are an unwelcome burden to society. I mean, friends, this is so sick. These people do not know what spirit they are of. They actually, many of them, they think they're doing good. They're good people, just want to use their power for good. But they are evil and wicked and twisted. They're self-righteously pontificating over your life with their self-righteous version of morality. They lay all sorts of mandates on you, controlling your individual decisions in the name of the public good. And I remind you that every mass-murdering political leader in history has justified his, quote, killing fields, end quote, as something he was doing for the people. The Constitution was written specifically to keep us free from the control of these sorts of fascists. Congress has a power to promote the general welfare, but not independently of the people they serve, and not by usurping individual liberties to do it, or by trampling upon our inalienable rights. But here's the rub, my friends. If you require government to pay for your health care, then guess what? You have surrendered control over your health care decisions to the government. And not only that, but you have given to the government power to control how you live your life. Because, you see, if it's the people's money that is used to bail out this or that failed company, well, then the people have a right to control how that money is spent, right? Makes sense to me. And if it is not deemed in the interest of the people to allow for executives to receive the bonuses that they have contracted for in their contracts, you know, of employment, well, then the people have a right to come in and say, well, no, not with our money, fella. Right? Makes sense to me. And so if it's the people's money that is paying for your heart surgery and you caused your own heart attack by your bad eating habits and lifestyle, well, then, hey, buddy, not with my money. You begin to see? This especially becomes a problem when we start experiencing the Oregon factor, which is certain to come, and that, you know, Oregon has a health care for everybody system already. And when the government simply begins running out of money and therefore simply cannot afford to pay for everybody's surgery, guess what happens? Mark my words, my friends. You're going to be paying for abortions and sex change operations, while at the same time you'll find many being denied treatment who are not living according to the lifestyle choices Obama and company make for them. If you are a fatty, look out. If you're a smoker, look out. If you're a druggie, look out. You want a sex change operation? Well, here's the people's money. Go ahead and get it. You want to kill your baby in the womb? Well, here's the people's money. Go ahead and get it. That's where this foolishness is going, and we had better wake up before it is too late. Well, all right, anyway, that's the individual mandate. And now the public option, well, guess what? I'm out of time. Essentially, it's where you go when you are pushed out of your insurance policy because your employer decides it makes more sense to him to pay the $750 fine for not providing insurance for you rather than cough up the several thousand dollars per year for insurance. Then you have the option, see, to go and enroll in the public insurance program, which is government-controlled health care. This thing is going to cost some middle-class families something like $15,200 per year in additional taxes. And then, by the way, this is according to an analysis provided by the Congressional Budget Office. Yeah, the CBO has informed the House and the Senate of this in letters they've written to them. But they're being ignored because they have another agenda. They want to get in control of your life, friend. Well, I've lit the lights in the Belfry Arch to signal the enemies on the march. Get these shows in all the hands you can. Check in with me, my fellow Revere's. That's Savage's thing. I hope he doesn't mind me borrowing it. That ties in so well to this idea of lighting the lanterns in the church belfry arch. Call in and let me know that you see the lights are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. You can reach me by email. Go to our website, santamarialighthouse.org. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.